I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 19. We're not going to look at the whole 19th chapter of Genesis, but I want to look at a particular portion that has to do with Lot and his family leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. Last Sunday we reflected on the fact that Abraham was already in the presence of God interceding on the behalf of those cities in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there were just not two cities involved. There were many cities in that area for which Abraham was praying, but the two that were the largest populations apparently were being mentioned by the Lord to his angels. Zoar would have been consumed had not Lot and his family gone there. But the Lord spared Zoar, even when there was not even 10 in the city. And so we find Lot and his family going to Zoar, and yet even being delivered from the wrath that was coming, he was arguing with the angels. It's sad, but this is the case. Let me just read Genesis chapter 19, verse 17 and following. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and hath magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither." For the name of the city was Zoar. Then I want to read verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. It's significant that Lot and his family had this experience to help us to grow and to mature spiritually by applying what happened to them to our own life. Lot lived in a period of time that the New Testament referred to as the coming of the Son, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I have gathered from looking at these, comparing these scripture verses, is the fact that Abraham lived in the day in which Lot lived. And not only Abraham, but also Sarah, of course. But we find Lot's wife and his daughters. These are all pictures for us. We can be like Abraham, or we can be like Lot, or we can be like Lot's wife, or we can be like Lot's daughters. I look at these people, and I see the spiritual condition of saved people in the last days. Abraham lived by faith. What does that mean? It means that Abraham was pleasing God. And we should have a desire to please God. And the way we do that is by living by faith. Now, sometimes the expression of living by faith is such an abstract expression. What does that really mean? It means to trust Him, regardless of our circumstances. Trust Him when there's nothing that you can do about what's happening in your life. This pleases God for us to trust Him. I was reflecting on another verse of Scripture this week. In Isaiah, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah. It's not in the notes. It's Isaiah chapter 30, I believe it is, and verse 18. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. A verse of Scripture that has been meaningful to me for many, many, many years. And it should be meaningful to you as well. Because this gives you the character and God's manner or style of life for Him. And therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is the God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. You want to be blessed? Wait for the Lord. But what are we to be doing while we're waiting for the Lord? And as I reflected on this verse, the Lord just gave me a little different view of what this verse means. And therefore will the Lord wait. And this is a long, piercing wait. That's what that Hebrew word means. A long, piercing wait. You know, when you have to wait that long, if you're standing in line, you'll find yourself part of the time standing on your right foot, and then part of the time on your left foot, and then part of the time on both feet. You have to sort of shift your weight around because it's painful, isn't it? But you know what happens when we have to wait that long? We have to begin to exercise our prayer life in gaining the grace of God to sustain us while we're waiting. The Lord's going to wait till He can be gracious unto us. In other words, it's so long a wait time that the grace of God has to start ministering to you for you to keep on waiting. And you know what happens when the grace of God begins to work in your life? Who gets exalted? The Lord gets exalted. Why does the Lord get exalted? Because His grace is working in your heart and in your mind. It's providing peace. It's providing strength. It's providing endurance. It's providing the patience that we need. And you know what? When He is exalted, it says, then He may have mercy upon you. Then that's when He responds to that need that He has been waiting to supply. He needs to be exalted. Abraham was a man who waited upon God, and he pleased God, and he exalted God, and God provided his need. And that's the same thing in our own life. So, in the days of Lot, there are believers, just like today, like Abraham. There are those of us, there are Christians today that are pleasing God. And we want to be like that. There are Christians like Lot. Lot wasn't pleasing God. He was just. He was aggravated because of the sin of his city. He had righteous indignation over the gross sin of his time. In fact, he was trying to do something about it, and he was not successful at all. But Lot wasn't pleasing God, because Lot was just. And it's the just who live by faith, and there is no scripture to tell us that Lot lived by faith. There are Christians today that are just simply, they're doing the right thing, they're living right, but they're not trusting God. They're not leaving politics in the politician's parking lot. I guess that's a way of putting it. The cares of this life, that's what Lot was involved in. And God says we are not to have our hearts overcharged with the cares of this life. We don't need to worry about taxes. We don't need to worry about our rights and our privileges. Let me tell you, You can do anything God wants you to do with confidence. Now, you may have to spend the night in the lion's den, but I tell you what, Daniel, he would not lack for any audience for him to tell his experience in the lion's den, would he? Would you go hear his story if he were here? I sure would love to go hear how it went, wouldn't you? I tell you what, if Daniel didn't have the courage to do what God wanted him to do, he would have never had a lion's den experience. You will never have those precious moments with God if you have no convictions about your lifestyle. Lot was just, but he wasn't pleasing God. There are Christians today that are just, they're behaving themselves, they're living right, they're not committing adultery, they're not stealing, this is what Lot was doing. But he wasn't pleasing God. Then there are those Christians who are like Lot's wife. Lot's wife has no testimony that she was just or living by faith. In fact, I don't think Lot's wife was just at all. Her priorities were where? In Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife was looking back. There are Christians today that are so consumed about what they have and their possessions and what their friends, that they're not interested in putting God first in their life. There are Christians just like that today. And we need to take warning. There are Christians like Lot's daughters. They were licentious. They don't mind getting somebody drunk. Happened to be their dad. They don't mind having relationship with other people that are drunk. There are Christians that live like this. In the days of Lot, there are people who have no moral values and standards that are saved, yet they are not behaving themselves in a proper way. And then, of course, living in the days of Lot were those in Sodom and Gomorrah. And those that are living in Sodom and Gomorrah, I associate with those who are lost. So we have those who are living by faith, those who are just, those who are not just, and those who are lost living in the day. And that's what we have today. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah was a very wicked place. In Genesis 19:13, it says, "We will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Get it off the face of the earth. Let me just say this, that it is important for us to realize that we have no business around that type of value system. Though we're not moving out of the city of Minneapolis, obviously, but we sure can be choosing those with whom we are involved with. But Sodom and Gomorrah is a picture of the wickedness of our day. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Israel in Isaiah, but it does give us a little bit of insight about what was going on in the city when you get down to chapter 3 in verses 4 and 5 and also verse 12. "I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the older folks." That's what the word ancient means. "And the base against the honorable." Is that what's going on in our time right now? Absolutely. People are suing each other so that who's oppressing whom? We're oppressing each other. We saw something on TV last night where that if a couple wants to go out on a date, they have a love contract. So that if anything happens that one of the others doesn't like, that they won't take each other to court. That they will settle their differences outside of court. This has to do with people who just want to date each other. Maybe a little more than just one date, but you know what I mean. They have a contract so that if one of them does something the other one doesn't like, they're not going to sue each other and take them to court. And so, and also, it's the children today. They're suing their parents. If they don't like what their parents are doing, they're suing them. I haven't heard of that lately, but, you know, that has happened. And it's the kids that are oppressing the people. And then in verse 12 is another obvious thing that's happening today. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. What's trying to be accomplished today? Well, they're trying to accomplish the fact that women are in charge. Did you know that when women rule, you're in the lowest spiritual condition that you can be? That's not God's plan. That's not putting women down. It's just simply saying that when women rule, the people are oppressed and they go astray. That's just simply what that verse says. Children are their oppressors and women rule over them. And my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err. Just remember this. Who was it that was deceived in the garden? Eve. And that's the reason why Paul told Timothy, women are not to teach men, because men are deceivable and women can deceive them. Okay. Now, judgment was coming. In Jude chapter 1, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What does it mean by going after strange flesh? What that means simply is this. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to sexually know the angels. They knew they were angels. And they wanted that experience with those angels. That is what was going on in Sodom. That's how low things were in Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 2 of 2 Peter, in verse 6, it says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah was judged. And let me tell you, this goes over into the family of God as well. We think just because sometimes that we are saved that we can escape the judgment of God. But this is not necessarily the case. In fact, we find that one of the believers who left Sodom and Gomorrah was judged. Her name was Lot's wife. It's sort of like Potiphar's wife. Remember Joseph? He had a time with Potiphar's wife. You know, I think it's interesting that the Lord doesn't give them a name, because then we can apply any application that we need to of those that would plague us to draw us away from the things of God. Now, I included in our message this morning thoughts about believers in politics, but let me just tell you this. We won't cover this morning. Believers have no business in politics. A prime example of that is Lot. Lot did not accomplish a thing sitting in the gate of the city. Sitting in the gate of the city is simply a matter that he was on the city council, he was in the government, and he accomplished nothing. And we need to appreciate that. The only ones that really God used that we have a record of in politics are those who were forced into it by captivity. Daniel was forced into politics. He had no other choice. Nebuchadnezzar trained him in the way of Babylon, and he saw that he had something that he needed in his government, and he made Daniel do it. He didn't have any choice. He was a slave. Now, there was another one. in Esther. Esther and Mordecai, they were in captivity. The only place that I find where the Lord used political involvement, so to speak, is people in captivity. They had no choices, and they weren't running for office. They were forced into it. What are we exhorted to do? In 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, I exhort you therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life while we run for office. In all godliness and honesty. Doesn't say anything about running for office. I slipped there. What do we need to be doing? We need to be serving the Lord, and serving the Lord is not downtown in the city council. Now, we all know that Lot's wife looked back, because we just read it, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And remember this, that a salt is not a bad thing. You're the salt of the earth, the Word of God says. And so Lot's wife being turned into a pillar of salt is something. She wasn't turned into something bad. That's the thing that I want you to get there. But she was judged. That's the point that I think we should get. Luke 17, verse 32, is a very poignant statement. Remember Lot's wife. I asked Jean this week, I says, when was the last time you remembered Lot's wife? I'd like to ask you that question. When was the last time you remembered Lot's wife? Was it this week? Was it this month? Or maybe was it last month? Why do we remember Lot's wife? Well, I think that we need to remember Lot's wife so that we won't do what she did. Her affections were where? In Sodom and Gomorrah. Paul tells us to set our affections on things above and not on things where? Here on the earth. If you put your priorities on things here on the earth, you have your priorities mixed up. But you know what? God will allow you to do that. God will allow you to do that. And when you do, you can expect to be judged for it. And that's the reason why the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Make sure your priorities are in order. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, this has to do with people who are following the Lord. People who are following the Lord are like His sheep. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. In Luke 9, 57, it says, and it came to pass that as they went into the way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. You know what? It cost you to follow Him. It cost you. It may cost you your friends. It may cost you your job. But it cost. Verse 59, And he said unto another, follow Me. But He said, Lord, suffer what? Me first. That's bad. It's not me first that's important, is it? It's following the Lord first. He said, me first. Go and bury My father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, He wasn't saying, hey, you can't go to the funeral. That's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying like what Abraham did. Now, Abraham didn't do right when he took his father with him. And Abraham hung around with his father and hung around with his father and hung around with his father until his father died. Then he went into the land that God called him to. That is, delay is just simply nothing in the world but disobedience. 61 goes on and tells us, and another said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home and at My house. Now, he wasn't saying that you couldn't wave as you went down the road. That's not what he is saying. He's just saying, hey, look, even the spending time seeing all the relatives is not putting me first. Lot's wife was judged because the Lord wasn't first in her life. And then in 62, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is not dealing with salvation. This is talking about our inheritance. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are dealing with our inheritance and not our salvation. You can't put your hand to the plow of God if you're not saved. But if you do put your hand to the plow of God and turn back from doing His will and doing His work, you will not rule and reign with Christ. You will not have a reward. You will lose your inheritance. That's what happened to Lot's wife. She had no inheritance. She didn't even get to go to... Well, she may have been in Zoar, but she sure didn't have any life after that. No life. What do we need to do? Well, the children of Israel had shawls and different things to help them to remember things that we should remember. In Numbers 15, verses 39 through 40, and it says, "And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them." In other words, reminders. The Lord wants us to have things that remind us of the Scriptures. That's the reason why in my day timer I put down verses of Scripture that I want to look at again and again and again. That's the reason why I have a memory pack of verses that I want to go look at them over and over again, or that I may want to pray over. I have them on my desk. I have them in my pocket when I go different places. Why? So that I can remember all the commandments of the Lord. For what reason? So that I can brag about how many verses I memorized? No. So that I can do them. I need to do them. That's what pleases God. I need to do them. And then it says, "And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring." Did you know that when you respond to your heart and to your eyes, you know what happens? You go running off and do something as bad as prostitution. And I realize that there are no ladies in our group that would do that. But the Lord wants you and I to associate straying from the Lord with that type of lifestyle. We sure wouldn't go down on Lake Street, would we? Or wherever they are. And we just need to relate on the fact that when we're running away or turning away from the Lord, that's what we're doing. We're prostituting our lives to something else. Verse 40, "That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." That's what God wants us to do. That's what remembering Lot's wife would encourage us to do. Lot's wife was judged. We too will be judged if we are not obedient to Him. And if we really want the blessing, we need to be trusting Him too. We need to be living by faith. One of the things that we do on Sunday night is we encourage our remembrance. When we have communion on Sunday night, when we have breaking of bread on Sunday night, you know what we're doing? We're encouraging ourselves to remember some things. We're encouraging ourselves not to forget that Jesus Christ died for us as sinners. That's in the bread. The second thing that we don't want to forget is that the cup of the New Testament in His blood has to do with our inheritance. And we do that every week for one reason. We don't want to forget those things. We don't want to forget them. Because if we forget them, we're going to go astray. Just like Lot. Did you know it was Lot's eyes that got him in trouble? He lifted up his eyes and he looked on the well-watered plains of Jordan and he says, "Man, that is for me." And he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and the next thing you know, he's among the cities of Sodom, and then he has moved right into the gate. We can be sucked away, led astray by our eyes and our heart. The heart is exceedingly wicked, and it is, I can't even think of how to quote that verse, but it will lead you astray. Who can know it? We can't even know it, even though we got one. May the Lord help us to remember Lot's wife in these days of Lot, lest we be carried away with our own lust. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that it ministers to us and it helps us to see in the way that we should walk, that we might be found pleasing to Thee. We're thankful, Lord, that Lot was just. But Lord, we see that his life was ruined with living in a cave, living in a hole in the ground, where Abraham, who lived by faith, lived in tents, blessed by fellowship with You. We just thank You, Lord, that we can apply that to our own heart and life. Help us to be like Abraham. And help us, Lord, to remember that if we do turn away from Thee, we can count on Your judgment in our life. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.